On this episode of Autographs,
the best idea unsupported will fail. The worst idea fully supported will succeed. Because even if it's a bad idea at the beginning, if somebody supports it, they might add a little something to it. Somebody else might add something to it. And then the faults, quote unquote, that were in that idea at the beginning that made it, quote unquote, bad or the worst might fall away. And some small kernel of that idea might actually survive and bloom into something really beautiful.
Hey everybody, this is Nick Singh, and you are now listening to Autographs. You know, when you stop looking for acceptance and you just enjoy your life, the whole game changes.
You have to understand yourself, like, and I think the real answer is real giving. Is that I don't understand why people don't get that if you give purely, you get.
We get good at what we do the most of. You nurture the process of, like, going to yourself and listening to yourself, and you get very good at honing your own intuition.
Did I actually make people stop and go, whoa, humans are capable of more than I thought? If you're great at a certain skill, and you can then put that skill to use to help somebody else, that's fulfillment.
My hope is that this show inspires you to just feel like you can just be yourself, have fun, and enjoy your life too. So enjoy and take care out there. I really appreciate you guys hopping on here. I happen to be Canadian, so American Thanksgiving is this week. So I recognize that by me asking for Thursday, I was asking for time on your long weekend. That dawned on me this morning when I was at the gym. So thank you guys for the time. And Wednesday is usually, I feel like, the busiest day for you guys, right? To get everything kind of wrapped out before the long weekend. Is that how it usually goes?
Kind of. Yeah, you like get it all done.
Yeah.
The most Canadian thing that you said was that you were at a gym this morning. That's not happening a lot in the United States. There's a lot of gyms that are closed, I feel.
Oh, I live in a interesting nook in Canada. So I love where I live. I don't live directly in Toronto. I live about 40 minutes outside of Toronto in a little suburb called Oakville. And we're notoriously like 2 to 3 weeks behind any lockdown. So Toronto's all the gyms are locked down, but we might get locked down soon. By the way, this is the cup.
That's a place to be.
This is the cup. Does this ring any bells? Hold on.
Oh, from the office, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So actually, you know what, Pete, I know little about you. I know much more about Noah because Noah and I have had a lot of dialogue. So talk to me about yourself, man, and kind of share with the audience what you got going on, what you've done. I think that you were, if I'm not mistaken, a producer, perhaps director, or maybe I think it was writer, actually. I think it was both producer and writer for Comedy Central for many years.
That's right.
Perhaps you still do that. So talk to me about
most
that.
Recently, the thing that I've done is I worked for a show called The President Show on Comedy Central when I was the executive producer, showrunner, co-showrunner. The show was this guy, Anthony Atamanik, who does the world's best Donald Trump impression, bar none. It's both accurate in sound and searing in content. Anyway, we had a show that was him doing Trump, and it was like a late night style show. So his late night desk was the Oval Office desk. The set was the Oval Office, and I played Mike Pence as his sidekick, as like late night sort of Johnny Carson, Steve Higgins style sidekick. And we did that in 2017 and 2018. But before that, I wrote for Seth Meyers. I wrote for Stephen Colbert. Recently, I wrote for Amy Sedaris. And then as an actor, I've been on a bunch of shows. I've been on Veep, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. And if you've ever seen a commercial on cable TV in the last 10 years, I'm one of the guys in the Sonic commercials. I'm the guys who are sitting there, the guy in the driver's seat. I don't know if they make that north of the border. I don't know if there are Sonics in Canada, but...
Sonics? So... you're talking about like the restaurant, right?
Yeah, the quick service restaurant, not fast food.
Yes, quick service. You know your lines.
Yes, exactly. That's the category.
But yeah, no. They don't make Sonics up here. I'd love to try it. I'm one of those dudes who just goes to California and eats In-N-Out. So it'd be cool to try Sonic sometime. And then I guess I could say, I don't know if this is a good way to put it, but Your second half here, Noah, just to kind of round the room out. Noah, how about you say a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you're working on these days, and then we'll kind of dive in.
Sure. Well, the first thing I'd like everyone to know is I'm Pete's cousin. I'm Pete's second cousin.
That's not true. I am your cousin, Noah.
So
that's
everything,
the way that it works.
From this point onward, this is nepotism. this okay. whole oh, thing is just
100%.
That's right. So how do I say that back to you in a way that's, I could say Pete's my cousin or I am Pete's cousin?
Yeah, yeah. No, you say Pete's my cousin. That way, like, it, you're the center of focus.
Exactly.
And I'm a satellite. You know, I'm like a moon and you're the planet. I think that's the way it works.
I love how you think. It's so writer, producer, Pete. I would never have said that. That's awesome. But anyways, Noah, what do you got going on these days, man? I am a huge fan of what you have going on, but better for them to hear from the horse's mouth itself. So,
thank you. Well, yeah, it's a pleasure to be on here, Nick. Really excited to be on your show, Autographs. At what point can I, like, do you, what, should I autograph something for you or?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I would love that duvet in the back. That duvet with a giant fucking autograph just running directly across it.
One of the pillows?
Would fit nicely on my bed.
Or the duvet. I see. Okay. That's.
I've experimented a few times actually with potentially taking a picture of a guest and then having them sign it and then giving it away to fans.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that would be a cool thing. A friend of mine recently confused the whole name of the show for Auto-Tune. Not Auto-Tune. It was actually Auto-Focus, Auto-Tune. But I was like, dude, you've been a friend of mine for years and you just call my show Auto-Tune. But
AutoZone.
Here, yeah, exactly. Autobots.
Take it back to the AutoZone.
Exactly. But hey, you know what, Noah, why don't I tee it up for you, man? So from what I understand, you are a real estate agent / broker in New York City. You've been that way for years. You worked extensively with a personality that is now a personality on YouTube, was previously a personality on television, Ryan Serhant. Correct? You worked with Ryan Serhant, right?
Yes. And yes. I did. And by the way, his last name is pronounced, he pronounces it Serhant.
Oh, okay, cool. That's my own mistake. Okay, cool. So thank you. And you helped grow his channels extensively to then go on and now produce your own thing. And I don't want to get too public about what you're doing, because to be frank with you, I don't know how much is kept in private, how much is meant to be public. So that's why I'm treading lightly here. So why don't you tee that one up for me and talk about TDL?
Sure, sure. And Pete, feel free to chip in wherever
I will
fall off.
No problem.
So, yes. So basically, we have a season. Which,
why don't you say what TDL is first?
Sure. $1,000 listing is.
Pete is our godsend. He is coaching us both.
I'm coaching. I'm the one who has to tell Noah what to do.
Pete's the host.
I'm still his cousin. He's never been my cousin. I am his cousin.
Pete is my cousin.
It's not a mutual relationship.
He is my cousin.
No, it only goes one way.
So basically, $1,000 listing is, you know, first of all, do you know the show $1,000,000 listing on Bravo?
Yes. Yes.
So, right. So $1,000 listing is, you know, a different show than $1,000,000 listing in the sense that I am not showing $1,000,000, you know, mansions to people of wealth. Instead, I am showing rooms to most of the time, people just moving to the city, any age, we're not ageist, basically anyone moving to the city. And it's about rooms underneath 1,000, maybe a little bit over 1,000. What can you get for your money in New York City for people who have a dream of moving to the city for the first time, starting their life up, hustling? That is what this show is about, including myself, you know, building out my real estate portfolio. I'm very excited to work with, you know, up and coming artists, you know, techies, you know, musicians. It's very nice. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that explanation. And from what I understand, it's pretty satirical, right? So if anybody's seen, $1,000,000 listing, it's kind of like it's a luxury real estate show. So it's this show where like almost celebrity brokers and agents go around and they tour really, really, really luxe homes all over the US. Luxury homes is what I mean by luxe. $1,000 listing is like the funny unrelated cousin to play on the cousin joke here to $1,000,000 listing. And from what I understand, like, there is a funny spin on it, or has that changed?
It's definitely funny. I mean, it's like the funniness comes from, first of all, like, Noah's, you know, behavior, which is sometimes a little ignorant, sometimes a little inappropriate, sometimes a little goofy. But also just sometimes, you know, it's never at the expense of the person who's renting the place. The idea is to like find this person, legit find this person a place to live and help them out. But along the way, there's bumps of like, oh, we're in a basement where the ceiling is like only sort of like 5.5 feet high. So you sort of have to like crick your neck to walk around. But it's cheap. It's, you know, it's $700 in New York City. Like that's pretty cheap. Or like you might be right next to the subway tracks, or, you know, it's kind of a 20 minute walk from the train. There could be a million things that are sort of, you know, not ideal. But the idea is like, let's get you settled. Let's get you an apartment for under a grand, hopefully, and, you know, get you started on your journey in New York City.
Yeah.
So it's ultimately an uplifting show, but it's funny along the way.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Yeah. So okay. So that was well put. So like the goal is like to have uplifting, to actually place people in their homes. It's not to screw with people.
Not at all. Prank show on any level whatsoever.
Gotcha.
No,
gotcha.
We're here to prop people up.
Pardon me?
We're here to prop people up.
Yeah. I love that. I'd
like to rent some rooms.
Yes, exactly. So question then. This, I figured that I think that what the audience, at least my audience, would get the most value of is what you guys are currently doing, from what I understand, is you guys are trying to break this show, right? You guys are trying to, I guess, break this act. I may not be using the correct terms. Pete, feel free to step in here and correct. But you guys are trying to get this show picked up by a major network. Is that still happening, or has there been a progress update there since we've last spoke?
Yeah, definitely. The progress has been that we're talking to, you know, a lot of different people who have connections at places, and we're trying to find the place, the best place. And so it's a matter of finding that right fit. And, you know, up until now, we're still finishing this season, and we're not too far away. We're, I would say, within 5 or 6 weeks away. It's pretty timely that we're doing this podcast, because we're on the cusp of having something to deliver, like in full form. And of course, a place could, wherever we end up, they could edit that a little bit to suit, you know, how they do things. But it'll essentially be a fully delivered season of 6 episodes. Maybe more, but it looks like 6 right now.
And they're like web style episodes. I mean, I think they're, you know, the ethos of the show is very DIY. It's aimed at a younger audience. It's not, it's aimed at an audience of people who are not, you know, sitting down watching television on television. They're checking shit out on streaming. They're watching on their phones. They're, you know, checking things out on YouTube, whatever it is. So I think our ideal place, just for the way that like the show would feel right, is someplace that, it's like a, you know, like a fun, newer streaming outfit. I mean, it could be Netflix if they wanted it, obviously, but that it feels more like the shows are, each episode is, you know, 15-ish minutes. It kind of doesn't feel like an HGTV show.
Gotcha.
It feels more like something you'd catch and be like, oh my God, did you see this crazy thing that I saw? And like, Noah's cool. Building out his like social media with like cuts, things that don't make it in the episode end up on Instagram, and you know, he does special stuff for Instagram. So it's that's the feel of it.
Gotcha.
But yeah, we're, you know, and if someone doesn't want it, we'll just put it out ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So how does one break a show? Like, Pete, can you and Noah chip in too? Like, how does this work? Cause, I mean, I reckon that a lot of people have great ideas. Everybody has great ideas. Pete, I'm sure, and Noah, at this point, you as well, probably get pitched a ton of fucking shows, like, that people want to launch, friends, family,
right,
cousins. But also, I mean, I'm sure these also come from colleagues, right, and producers, right, and some go and some don't. Walk me through the process of how something kind of starts as an idea, and then the just kind of procurement around that in the process. I would love to know. I've never actually understood it in depth.
Noah, how did this show start from your end exactly? Because I mean, I know I've been aware of it and we've talked about it for a while, but what was like the kernel of the idea for you?
Well, the kernel of the idea was that I was, you know, this was like, you know, our pilot is from 2016. It's on YouTube. And so just to quickly read, like, just to let you know, our pilot's from 2016. So this dates back to 2016 when I was, you know, just starting out and I was at a luxury real estate firm, and I was not basically making any money. And so I thought, you know, what, there, you know, I have nothing to lose. Every agent wants to fake it till they make it. And I have, I don't really care at this point because I'm so in over my head. I would just like to, you know, I would just like, I don't care to look bad. So I was like, I want to do a show. And I approached a friend saying that I want to, you know, build out a show that's bold, funny, and risque. And, you know, this idea that we should do a $1,000 listing, which is about like, you know, apartments underneath $1,000, you know, or around there, it was something that just naturally came from that. And I think that it's just simple. It's like, you know, you take someone around to apartments and you show them what they can get for their budget. And, but we've sort of built the show out to be, more than that. We've built the show to be out, like be about my life, about the renter's life a little bit. You know, we've built it out to be this, you know, this, a show that had a few threads in it, which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't know. And then in the last 2 years, we've really started to film. Like we had a development deal with MTV shortly after we put the pilot out.
Oh,
we
wow.
We got into the news. We got into the media. We've got on Fox 5, Channel 11, Realtor.com, Time Out New York. There's some real estate things like Real Deal and Inman News and Bedford and Bowery and DNA Info, like New York Post. We're in the New York Post. So we're in all these places. And then Ryan found out about it initially, emailed me the next day after we had a launch party. And I was working with him for two and a half years. And then I ended up on a $1 million listing, and he gave me some, you know, $1 million stuff to do. And all the while I was trying to build, you know, I was like hoping, because we had a development deal with MTV, I was hoping that we would, you know, get picked up and get going. And it actually fizzled out after a year, and I was actually really depressed about it.
So what happened? Like how did it fizzle out? And just to kind of slow things down a little bit, so you were this luxe real estate agent, you weren't doing too well, and you just decided, like, fuck it, I'm just gonna start selling $1,000 listings, I have nothing to lose. And did you just go out of pocket to just get it filmed? And was it filmed professionally on like an FS7? Like what kind of level did you bring to this, right? Because nowadays a lot of folks would just want to put that stuff on YouTube, right? They'd be like, I'm just gonna start a YouTube show. But you seemingly had in mind for this to get picked up by a network from the beginning. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, I knew like once we had interest from MTV, I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, this is going to go to the moon, you know?
Gotcha.
And so I just thought, you know, I don't want to, I guess in my mind, I was like, you know, if we do this stuff, it's valuable, you know? And I don't want to just throw it up on YouTube and spend all this time and money. Cause we were shooting with Sony EX3s at the time. That was like the reality show camera 4 years ago, and then or 5 years, whatever. And I just thought, you know, I really want to I want to make great episodes. I want to make something that I feel proud about, that I'm going to laugh my ass off on, and you know, people are going to feel relatable. And it takes a lot of components to make that happen. So I thought, I don't want to just throw it up on YouTube. You know, there's some value to this. So that's been my mentality all along. And for the last 2 years, you know, after this period where it fizzled out with MTV, I thought, you know, I was actually going to an artist development therapist, a psychologist. And he was like, man, you've been like depressed for half a year. Like, you just got to start filming again. And so I was like, all right, I'm just going to start filming again. So we had this new camera, the Sony FS7. We just started filming again. And 2 years have gone by. We now have like a team of 20. And now we want to put out season one. And it's been a process. Pete came on to advise us, you know, about a year ago, and then he turned into a co-executive producer. And, you know, he's been helping us sort of craft this stuff, put it together, because I'm naturally aloof. I'm all over the place. But then Pete's like the writer. He has that writing background. He was the head writer of the Seth Meyers show.
I was a writer on the Seth Meyers show.
He was a top writer on the Colbert Report.
I was a writer on the Colbert Report.
He was a writer.
Now this is how, like, now we're not even, you're not my cousin, you're my mother or something like that. You're like elevating my.
He's just gonna start saying shit. He's gonna be like, he wrote Kevin Hart's recent stand-up. Comedy Central.
I wrote all of Chappelle's specials.
Yeah, he's been a co-executive producer and main writer for Chappelle for around 8 years.
He's president of NBC.
Showrunner of Comedy Central.
That is true.
He plays Mike Pence on The President Show.
That is also
true. Yes.
The Amy Sedaris Show.
That's true.
Also. He is my second
all true.
Cousin.
All true.
He's the driver in the Sonic commercials.
Yes.
Yeah, but we said all that already.
Exactly. But it is all good. There's nothing like long live the hype. So, I mean, Pete, how do you take something like this that's done by Noah, right? And he clearly had it filmed well and there was some early interest in that.
Yes.
How do you start shaping that? So thanks, Noah, for sharing the new. How do you start shaping that into a show? How do you start packaging it out? And what are some of the key differentiating things from it just ending up being on a platform like YouTube that's delivered at mass for free? To it right. actually potentially getting picked up by a network. Well, what are some things that they look for?
Yeah, I mean, I think, first of all, the Noah and the crew of people, which includes some young up and coming aspiring folks who have worked on lots of other bigger things, but have never gotten a chance to do the level of work they've done on his show. Frequently, people, younger folks in their, 20s or early 30s, they're like, production assistants, or they're just very far down the ladder on all this.
They're very compartmentalized.
They're a small fish on a big show. And I think on Noah's show, we've given people, and everyone has stepped up, we've given people who have done, important but low on the totem pole work, we've given them a chance to like run an entire department, or like you're the head editor now, or you are in charge of, reaching out to potential corporate sponsors or whatever. So, he and his team have done, they did a ton of work filming, building an organization, making the show a thing before I even stepped in. So for me, I've sold shows to networks before. I've sold pilots. I know, I have agents. I've talked to people who've been in the business of like trying to, shine something up to make it look good. So I just tried to help with that. I tried to look at what they had, try not to change it too much. I tried to be like, what's the best version of what Noah has? I sometimes will point him in a different direction if I think that should be the case. But it's basically like saying like, yeah, the show's a little rough around the edges as it is. Maybe this edge over here is too rough. Like maybe this edit specifically of a show, this is a little too long. So let's shorten that up. Or like, you don't look that good in this scene here. Like, let's change this up. So you're not coming across in the wrong way. So it's kind of polishing things up like that. And then, I think like we've pitched to some places, we've attached my name to it. So it gives it like a little bit of a cachet. I'm not like a major celebrity, but I'm
enough. You've done some somebody stuff, right?
I've worked on a few things. So if I'm involved, it makes people go, oh, okay. So not only is this, yes, this is somebody I've never heard of doing this interesting idea. Everybody loves the idea. The idea immediately, the premise of the show gets everybody excited.
Yeah, I loved it when I heard it.
Yeah, it's like, it makes so much sense. And then you see even 2 minutes of it and you get, oh, this is going to be really funny. Noah's charming. The renters are really cool. All these people are just like trying to find a place in New York. And then, yeah, the apartments, some of them are funny. Some of them are just like inherently weird and goofy. And then some of them are kind of awesome. And then I think if you add in like, oh, he's got this, person who's going to produce the show, he's written on TV a bunch. He has all this experience. That's how you sort of like put it all together, the package. And we've talked about adding, maybe other elements to the show along the way, maybe a designer or somebody who like helps the person design their apartment. Or, you can add things that you think take it from like just a guy and his buddies with a camera to like, oh, this is a show. This is like an experience.
So what are some of those things that you add? What are some of those things that get added? Like let's itemize them and list them.
Yeah, I can.
Go ahead.
Yeah, please. Yeah, Noah, please. I would love that.
Thank you. We're currently building our $1,000 listing Instagram account.
Yeah, something like that is great.
Yeah, and so we have a bunch of like different people that have come on. We had this one guy, Mark Miller, who's really good at finding literally he's got bargain tips, but he also finds things on the street that are just like, you know, it's secondhand, whatever, people are putting it out. It's kind of like Stooping NYC on Instagram. He's really good. He's like a one man shop where he just finds stuff like that. And on top of that, he gives tips on like, if someone's moving, you know, they're putting stuff in a truck, they're probably leaving some stuff out on a curb as well. So things like that. And then we've got another guy, Jesse Montagna, who's just, he's like currently in Texas thinking about, seriously, it's kind of funny, he's seriously considering moving to the city in like a few months. So he always comes on being like, I'm seriously considering moving to the city in a few months. And here's my thought process today. Here are my concerns today. Here are my questions today for you. And then there's, you know, there's Grace, who talks about like what you can, how you can outfit a room on a budget. You know, what you can, you know, you can put a, if you don't have any outlets, you can put a sconce on the wall, right? And that could be a battery powered sconce. And it's kind of cool. And we've got a few other characters as well. Nancy. Yeah. Sorry. Keep going.
No, that's all right. I was just saying, yeah. I feel like the idea is to say, like, it's a whole sort of like world of younger people moving into, not their first apartment, but like moving into an apartment in New York City. So like Noah finds you the place, but then I think we envision $1,000 listing as like a brand or an idea being like, it's everything associated with, yes, moving into a new place. It's like, yeah, what's the neighborhood like? Do you need to redecorate? Can you find some cool chair that somebody threw out on the street? All the things that Noah's saying. It's just like a sort of a one-stop
street the other day, actually. Kind of cool. This is a light. These are lights. Very nice. I like the gold plate.
Noah is holding up, for those listeners, he's holding up a very weird, what would you call that? Like a 70s lamp?
I don't.
What era is that from?
It's gold trim. I would say at least, well, it's modern, but its design is probably the 70s.
How did we get to picking that up? How did that process?
Where did you pick that up?
I'm lucky because I live in a rental, a 5-bed, 1-bath, which is in the show. Like, I literally do interviews here with my bed in the background. And basically I picked this up like a block away from me because I live near townhouses, and I've got the park is basically my front yard. Prospect Park is my front yard. I live at 172 Prospect
Park. No, don't tell people where you live.
Okay. Anyway, but yeah, so I'm really, you know.
What's your social security number?
Noah will spill these bloody beans.
No.
Okay. So basically, yeah.
Dude, you guys are fucking hilarious. So I So I get that these specific elements that go into it are like, how do you, what I'm really looking for is how do you think about it differently when you're saying, no, I really want I want a network to pick up this show. Like, what are some of the thoughts that go into it differently? Cause I'm so trained to think in a digital way. Right. Whereas something it's going to be as simple as clean cut as raw for YouTube. And then what are some of the core elements that a network would look for that actually gives something, some legs, you know, like what are these things? How does it change? I mean, is it camera quality? Is it having, cause you seem to have a lot of staff.
I mean, it could be like production quality. So I think like one of the things that I take out is things that look too rough. First of all, I'm older than Noah. So I've had like, I'm not a millennial. So I haven't like ingested. I haven't had the same media diet that millennials have. So my diet is like, I grew up watching TV. I still watch TV. I still have cable. You know what I mean? And yeah. I get the stupid bill every month and I'm like, I can't believe I still have cable.
Wow.
But I think it's a good contrast because Noah's obviously younger and has, you know, is more in tune with that. So I take out things that are, or I recommend them taking out things that are too rough. But I think also, you know, the difference between the only difference between putting a show on YouTube yourself and the main difference between putting a show on YouTube and selling a show to the network is that someone at the network is looking at the show and considering these like 40,000 foot bird's eye view type issues. So they're like, is the host likable? Does the host connect with the viewer? Things that are a little like more soft around the edges types of issues. Things that we subconsciously, when we click through something on YouTube or whatever, we make those judgments in our brain without really thinking about it. But at a network, there are executives there whose job it is to like
sort of look at the nuts and bolts of a TV show and say, like, for example, like, yes, is he likable? Who are we going to market this to? Do we need to make a tweak so it appeals more to younger people or more to older people or more to people in cities or more people outside of cities or whatever it is? So it's kind of things like that. It's like all the sort of boring semantic stuff that is not fun. But it's stuff that if you want someone to pay you to use your show or to, you know, distribute your show, you sort of have to take that stuff into consideration.
That's really interesting. That definitely wholesomely answered the question. So what it sounds like it's just a level of thought that goes into it. And the reason why you folks needed to surround yourself, Noah, in your case, you did a brilliant job, especially I know that you've been working on a shoestring of a budget, right? Because I think you have to when you launch these things, unless you're funded for some odd reason, somebody decided to inject capital, which I don't think in your case was entirely true. So I think a lot of it was out of pocket last time we spoke. And it's interesting. You surround yourself with the folks that actually have the brain power to consider those types of things. And actually have the brain power or even just the manpower to carry out the more minute activities so that you're put in a position where you can start thinking about these sorts of things that Pete's saying. So how close do you guys feel to breaking this show? Like how close do you guys feel to getting it picked up by a network? What's the current?
I want to just quickly make one correction there.
Yeah.
We have to date raised like $9,500. And Pete chipped in for some of that. So
cool.
It's not like
my mistake.
It's not like I've been totally doing it myself. I mean, it's definitely, I think that I have, you know, I also own a camera. I bought it for 10 grand. You know, that was the money that I could have used to go down to Puerto Rico, but I didn't. And I haven't been anywhere, actually. I've not taken a vacation in like 5 years. So like an extended vacation. I've been up to like upstate like for a day or two, or visit my cousin upstate, like in Rochester. Stephen
Rochester Grant is the Puerto Rico of upstate New York.
From what I've heard.
Yeah, I might like
frequently
house. Right. But like I haven't really taken like a vacation in a long time. And so this has been like my sole focus. Everything in my life basically revolves around this. I'm doing room rentals as we fucking speak. I apologize for the curse.
Oh, no, you're good. We you could swear on the show. It's good.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
basically like it's really my life. This room is $900. Okay. I have the best room in the house. I moved into this room from a shoebox that Tyler currently lives in. And every now and then when someone's going to the bathroom, I have to pee into a bottle. So there's definitely that reality. Now, as far as like where the show is going, we're very close. We're five to 6 weeks away. We have 6 episodes. We're on the 4th episode, editing that with Tommy, who's all of 61 years old. And Tommy's awesome. He's literally the coolest. He's literally a 61-year-old man, or he's like 20-year-old trapped in a 61-year-old man's body.
I love he's those awesome. Guys.
He's amazing.
He's great.
So then we have 2 more episodes out of that. And we just filmed some completions for those episodes. So we're within eyes distance. Not eyes distance. I don't even know what the...
You're in striking distance. You're in striking distance.
Striking distance.
Striking? Okay. So we're within striking distance of finishing this whole thing. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. That's why I cannot wait for you guys to get picked up. Like, I have a good feeling about this one, and I don't have any basis to say that kind of stuff. But I remember when you and I first chatted a few months ago, Noah, I was just like, something about this show just feels so right. And I think Pete, you see it too. So I'm excited for you folks to actually have a shot at bat for this to appear on a network. My hope is that it appears somewhere a little bit more digital friendly, such as a Netflix or something, so I could actually view it. Cause otherwise I'm kind of left to, I know a friend of mine, John, I don't know if you know John Henry. Do you know John Henry, Noah?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So
the guy who beat the machine, he outperformed the machine from the song.
Oh,
John Henry.
Wait, which one?
You don't know that song, The Legend of John Henry?
The Legend of John Henry. No, I think that you're outdating me, but it sounds like a song I'd like.
It's an old, anyway, it's...
I love
anybody
old
who's
songs.
Listening to this who's over 50, which I'm not, will know that song.
So I will listen to it because I love old music. But John got picked up. He was like a golden bullet. John got picked up by Viceland, and it was like his first crack at a show. And then it didn't get renewed. But I think a large part of that, just personally, in my own opinion, was that it appeared, it was on Viceland, right? So you had to buy a membership to Viceland, and a lot of his core demo was young, and they weren't trying to spend more money just on Viceland. It just wasn't, there wasn't enticing enough. So because people were asking for it on digital all the time in the comments. But I hope that this thing gets picked up in like a more digitally friendly way. Is that a hope for you guys too? Can you guys share some of the folks that you're talking about or talking with, and how those conversations are going? Like, are you talking to people on Netflix at places like Hulu, HBO, stuff like that?
We've reached out to people. I mean, we're not going to go into like specifics as far as all that goes, because some of that is still sort of ongoing. But yeah, I mean, we've reached out to people at that level. We've reached out to, you know, folks that are more like a Vice or more like, what are sort of categories of folks that we've reached out to? We've tried to, you know, think a little outside the box too. No, I mean, there's some places that he's reached out to that are unusual.
SVOD, AVOD, TV, digital, see what else? There's a few others. There's like a lot of acronyms of different places. SVOD is a streaming video on demand. AVOD is something video on demand. There's a lot of different
places. It's A video on demand.
Yeah, A video on demand.
I forgot what the A stands for.
Yeah, exactly.
That's hilarious. But that's terrific. You guys are in those kinds of conversations. So I mean, to wrap out here though, how do you guys view yourselves, man? Like, no, when you wake up each day, do you view yourself natively? Have you always, is this a dream of yours to be like an entertainer, and a show host of sorts, or are you just trying to make it, man? Like, what does this look like? Would you just be happy at the end of the day if all this stuff didn't end up working out from a TV standpoint, the show didn't go anywhere, but you just became a really solid realtor in New York, or is that not the ambition? Like, what's the main ambition here?
It's a really good question. I'm still trying to figure that out myself.
Yeah.
You know, even on the show, one of the things that we might be taking out, but I think we should keep in, is a line where I say in my testimonial, if and when it occurs to me that, I actually forgot the line, but I said something like, if and when it occurs to
Pete line, Pete,
that I'm aligned with my destiny.
That's right.
That's when things will really start to take off or something.
That's right.
What was it, aligning with your destiny?
So, well, the reason I said take it out is because the sentiment is great, but it's like grammatically slightly incorrect and weird. But it's basically you saying, if I am in alignment with my destiny, it doesn't entirely make sense, because one cannot be in alignment with their own destiny. Like, your destiny is destiny no matter what. You can't be in alignment with something that's inevitably going to happen.
So I will.
Interesting.
In my mind. Maybe I'm struggling with that even as we speak, because I'm thinking,
I think that's the idea.
Because I'm thinking that, you know, for instance, you could get like hooked on drugs and alcohol, and then your destiny could have been this, and then you go that way. That's the way I'm looking at it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So not that I'm hooked on drugs and alcohol. I could be hooked on a lot of other things, you know? I mean, we can go on a list of things that I could be hooked on.
We should.
Let's go over everything that you're hooked on.
Food.
I like food. I like Tinder. I mean, I haven't been on Tinder in a while, but I do.
People in the New York State area can swipe right all day for their exclusive listing on the show.
There's all sorts of vices. Okay. Speaking, yeah. So there's all sorts of things that you can go and do. You can escape. I can go escape and do a lot of things, right? Everyone can escape and do a lot of things.
I see what you mean. So you mean align with like in like the proper alignment with your destiny?
Well, yeah, I'm saying, look, this is what I'm saying. I'm saying that I have an artist. I have a therapist who I found through psychologytoday.com, who focuses on, this was like 5 years ago I went and saw this guy. It was actually recommended to me from an artist who lives in Brooklyn as well. His name is Michael Hofka. He was like, get yourself a lifelong therapist, because everything in life is emotional. And if you can get your shit together and figure out your path and like keep, you know, taking risks and doing things and just like cut your brainstem off and just keep doing the things that you think are related to like your soul and shit, that's when you're aligned with your destiny. So that's what I'm talking about. I'm like,
I see what you mean.
Say, that's fucking great advice.
Align my destiny. That's when things will really take off. And that is, I think that answers your question. I think we're onto something here. I think it's aligned with your destiny. I think You know, I try to go to sleep at night, thanks to my therapist. I try to do a bit, build out a bedtime hygiene routine so that I can go to sleep, so that I can have energy the next day to kick ass and to make this show happen.
So two things. One, what is your bedtime hygiene routine? I got to know.
Okay, you ready? I'm not fucking around.
Yeah, no, I want to know. I seriously want to know.
Okay, here we go.
It would be better if you performed it. I don't know if you're open to that.
Okay, cool. Sure, why not?
And he has to go to bed. That's the only problem.
So here's my, this is like, I've got a bunch of things in here. First of all, I take 3 Neurontin. Second of all, I take 1 glycine. Third of all.
What are these things?
These are things that help.
Just like supplements?
Get me to go to sleep.
Are these just like, are these just like off the shelf? Are these like off the shelf things that anybody
can... I got this on Amazon. Glycine, 1,000 milligrams. I got this on Amazon. It's $9. It's literally, it's put me to bed the last 3 nights, and I'm really thankful for it because I have a nice deep sleep. I wake up in the morning, I'm like, holy shit, thanks.
I'm going
to
try that. I'm going to look that up.
How about melatonin, Noah? Do you have
melatonin makes you groggy. Okay. I've thought about this many
Too
times.
Much.
Glycine does not make you groggy. Second of all, you theanine. I put one of these tablets, theanine, 200 milligrams.
Which one's that? Which one's
and
that?
And I do 3 Neurontin, and I do magnesium on my body. I basically, I put this on my skin. That's
I
right.
Love, I
recently,
love magnesium.
My legs because I don't want to put it on my arms anymore. And then I go to the shower. I take a shower. I take it all off, the magnesium, once it's calcified. Okay. But this is after I've done bedtime yoga for 12 minutes. Okay, I do that. I make sure that I'm stretching my piriform muscles and this and that. Then I go take a shower. It calms me down. Then I go to bed. I've got an earthing mat. Check it out.
I love it.
Earthing mat that I put in my bed. Okay, hold on. I've got an earthing mat. This is no joke. I bought this for $100. Okay.
Cool.
Yep. I put this underneath my bed. I put it literally, I put it in the grounding outlet. Okay. Put earplugs in to my ears, and I put an eye mask on.
Oh my God.
What does the earthing mat do? Hold on. What does the earthing mat do?
Yeah. So the earthing mat grounds. It's as if you're – the idea is that early – in the early 20th century, we started wearing zapatos, shoes, that had rubber underneath them, okay, for the first time. Up until then, we didn't have rubber. And so rubber fucked shit up because we started to – get more stressed out because we weren't grounding out into the ground, especially as they started building the Industrial Revolution. They started building cities with cement. We didn't have cement. We didn't have cement up until like hundreds of years ago. So, you know, in the last like few hundred years, but especially in the 20th century, humans started not being able to ground out into the ground. Think about it. Like in the winter, you hit a doorknob and there's a electric, you know, like a little electric, you know, thing that gets you. That is that your body has too much pent-up energy in it, and a lot of that is stress. So what we try to do is there's this idea that if you ground out to the ground, you take your shoes off, you go to the yard, you go to the park, whatever, you're literally grounding the electricity, the stress in your body out to the ground. Now, if you want to do that in your home, you buy one of these things, you put it literally, I'm not shitting you, you put it in the grounding third ground thing of an outlet. Mm-hmm. You connect it to that thing, and you have to make sure also that the ground is correct. There's actually like literally a way to check it, and it's as if you're like sleeping on the ground in a park.
That's sweet. I don't take that shit for it. You know what is actually really neat? I read this book called Tools of Titans. I'm reading it right now by Tim Ferriss, and a lot of the high performers in that book, they buy, it's expensive, but I'm probably going to buy one sometime. It's a thing called a chili pad. It's like this thing that you lay underneath your mattress, just like underneath your first sheet there. Across your bed, depending on your bed size, and it chills you, which is really nice because I like falling asleep cold. I do want to say this as we wrap up, guys. I've noticed two things, and I'll say it first to you, Noah, and then you, Pete, and then I'll let you guys get on with your Wednesday, and then hopefully a great Thanksgiving weekend. Noah, man, I have no doubt, brother, that like something in you, it's hard pressed for me to put a finger on it, man, but I think that I once heard that you're on your path whenever you're on a path of enthusiasm. When you're on a path of enthusiasm, you're on your path. There's many ways up the mountain. And from what I've seen from you and all the times and discussions that we've had, it seems true to me that you're always on your path whenever you're in some form entertaining. I feel like you've kind of waltzed through life in an entertaining and thoughtful and insightful and inspiring way. So I feel like it would be a shame to see you there's nothing wrong with being a realtor, but if you did pursue just the path of being a realtor and being a broker, I hope to God that be it in private or in a public sphere, like through $1,000 listing, you pursue it or whatever you decide to do in an entertaining way. I think that your destiny will align itself quite naturally then. That's what I get from you, man. So
thank
so,
you. You just touched me. I appreciate it. I feel touched.
Yeah, yeah. You're welcome. I hope it's a good touching.
I agree, Noah. I hope you know that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That felt real and honest to say. And Pete, man, it's rare. I've actually only met one producer like you. She was actually the producer on John's show. She's produced some cool stuff similar to you. And I'm always so surprised when I meet these people, and you are just like them. It's no surprise to me as to why you're successful. I think that, Pete, you offer an incredibly selfless, objective energy that's really hard to come by, man. It's really mature emotionally, and it's really beautiful. I think that's an interesting word to spend on. I'm sure you don't get called that your energy is beautiful daily, but it is. Man.
Or emotionally mature. I don't get called emotionally mature, but...
Yeah, well, you know what,
I'm aiming for that, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah, well, you are, though, right? To be able to separate yourself from somebody's creative idea and to live that closely to a fire that is somebody's passion, and then to separate yourself and say, I'm not here to interfere with this, like, I'm here to, something you said on this call that touched me was, I'm not here to, like, to move his idea into what I think it needs to be. I'm trying to find what's best in that. And that's an art. That's a really selfless, unconditional, loving art to find what's best in others and consistently try to inch it out. I think that for some reason in any career that you choose, that's an important thing in life that I think that you offer, man. So I mean, I'm blessed. I've been a fan of the summer shows that you've produced, and seemingly just having hands and hearts like yours in spaces like that just seem to create for good things. So I hope that what people get out of this is that, one, your path in life is one whenever you're feeling the enthusiasm of life run through you. And two, if you can pursue something selflessly, I think that good things come to you in whatever fashion that may be. And on this call, there's no doubt that exists. So I just want to thank you guys, man. This one meant a lot. And it was cool for me. And I'm really rooting for you guys. So
it's a pleasure.
Yeah.
That's cool. A good point for your listeners too. The more selfless you are, the better you will be, and the better, the more you will achieve for yourself, the more mm-hmm. selfless you are.
Is that something that you focused on, like true selflessness, or is that just something that you've become?
I think that I've come to learn that in lots of different ways. I mean, I don't want to tack on a giant part at the end of the interview.
No, that's okay. I mean,
my deepest training has been in improvisational comedy, which on one level is like just getting up on stage and making stuff up. And on another level, it's the truest form of collaboration that I've ever been involved in. And you cannot be selfish and be successful in a group improvisational setting. Every single person, let's say it's a group of eight or whatever, is creating a show based off of nothing. And you have to be in it for the other people. You have to both step forward and contribute on your own, but you also have to be a safety net for everyone else. So you're responsible. You're only responsible for 1/8 of what's going on. And you know, unless you're a solo artist and like you are just the person at the top of the pyramid and, you know, everyone else beneath you is like taking care of all your shit, you're in some kind of group. That's no matter what career you're in, you are in a group somehow, and you need to just recognize your part in that group, moving that group forward, looking out for other people's goals, helping them, and we'll all just come back to you. I mean, there's lots of different ways we could slice this, but that's
beautiful, man.
That's just the basic part of it. So I appreciate that.
Do you mind if I just ask you two very quick, just kind of quick rapid fire sub questions on that?
Sure.
One. Where was your improv training? I would like to know.
It was at IO Chicago, which was called Improv Olympic at the time when I was there. And unfortunately, due to the pandemic, it has closed permanently.
That's a shame.
But I first started taking classes there 25 years ago.
Cool. Thank you. I know there's some very, I've heard of some big schools. I forget the names, but there's some.
So, I mean, I eventually performed at Second City and
and UCB and the Magnet. I've performed at lots of places, but Iowa is where I started. So
cool. I would love to see that stuff if it's ever online. And then my second question is, how do you ground yourself in service? And what I mean by that is, how do you ground yourself from a place of coming from service, especially when you don't feel like it, when like there is potential for self-interest to live at the table? Is right. there something that you say to yourself? For me, just for context, I say things like, there's these lines that run through my head. I'm kind of lyrical with it. I say things like, I wish I could have done more for you. I heard that quote once and it touched me. And I was like, when I think of that and I'm on a call or I'm when I'm with somebody, I really want to give to them. Or I think of this moment that I had at a seminar when somebody said, give unequivocally, love unequivocally, like things like that. It was words that kind of helped ground me personally. I'm not sure if it's the same for you, but.
I mean, it's nice to have really specific mantras like that. That's great. I think that I'll just boil it down to one word, which is just support. That's just something that came up, you know, endlessly in my improv training. And it comes up in me enacting, you know, the creative parts of my career and being in support of someone else's idea. And, you know, it's the hardest part is seeing what somebody wants or needs and trying to support it. So that's a whole separate thing. But if you can just come from a place of willing to support, this is like, you know, very beginner improv training. This gets sort of drilled into you, but the best idea unsupported will fail. The worst idea fully supported will succeed, because even if it's a bad idea at the beginning, if somebody supports it, they might add a little something to it. Somebody else might add something to it. And then the faults, quote unquote, that were in that idea at the beginning that made it, quote unquote, bad or the worst might fall away. And some small kernel of that idea might actually survive and bloom into something really beautiful. So I think support would be my.
What if it's, and I'm sorry to keep on doing this. I'm going to let you guys go, I promise. And I want Noah to kind of give us the closing notes here in a moment. But What if it's a bad idea, genuinely? And then two, I know I'm not talking about improv anymore, I'm talking about life. And then two, are the people that you surround yourself with always in service with you? And have you found that the people, and how do you deal with those kind of people that aren't always?
I'll start with B. No, not everybody is always in service of other people. I mean, there's plenty of people.
Do you just find a way to work with them, or do you just deliberately choose not to?
I think you find a way to work with them if you have to. I think you choose not to if you're able not to. I mean, there's people that, you know, you see somebody, even if you just pick something like a band or, you know, a movie cast or trying to think of other collective groups of creative folks, but you see people circling back around. Or writing room. I guess I just mean people that you would choose to work with, like, you know, a big artist like Sting always works with the same, you know, keyboard player or whatever it is. Or the Rolling Stones always called Bobby Keys when they need a saxophone player because he worked well with them. So they maybe worked with other saxophone players, but they were like, yeah, that person was good, but it's kind of a dick, so we don't need to work with them anymore. So you sort of self-select that way. And what was the first part of your question?
It was about, oh, wow. That was just a really beautiful answer. Thanks for that. I got lost in it. It's the last one. I promise that it is. Oh, what if it's a genuinely a bad idea?
If it's genuinely a bad idea, like, let's go burn down the synagogue. Yeah. Then you're like, that's not a good idea.
Gotcha.
But yeah. Most of the time things aren't that horrible.
Cool.
I mean, if you're a producer and you get like 10 ideas that come from your writing staff, you have to pick sort of the best one. You might say this idea doesn't really work. But I personally would genuinely try to look for a kernel of goodness, quote unquote, in a quote unquote bad idea. So
very nice.
Actually, I'll just jump off there quickly.
Yeah.
Say that it's boggled my mind that a show like this has not been put out. That's another thing, because we've seen it in BuzzFeed. Like BuzzFeed wrote several articles about it. Someone put out a post, I think the Instagram handle was Letters I Arranged, put out a post two and a half years ago, a post or a pilot. And they were just like, I want to see a show. I want to see a show basically our show. Like, I want to see young people just moving to this city for the first time. Right. You know, what's going to happen in all these crazy situations has not been put out. And I think partly, and I'm just, this is me just totally spitballing, but partly I think the reason it hasn't been put out is because it's just, it's a lot. It's very intense. You have to also find, you have to find people who are willing to put themselves in harm's way. And you also have to, you can't just have it be the Jerry Springer show, because it's not uplifting. So it's got a lot of components. Our show, not only, it has a Jerry Springer aspect to it, but it's also uplifting. So it's a very tight sort of rope to walk. And we're not, you know, I still think we have a long way to go as far as developing all of it, but with the right, you know, funding or whatever. But yeah, it's like, it's got a lot of those elements to it. And I don't, that's the reason why I think it hasn't been put out, because it's hard. It's hard to put this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a process. So I love that sentiment, Noah. Noah, where can folks find you? Where can they find $1,000 listing? What can they expect next?
Yeah, definitely. So again, our pilot's on YouTube. Our first pilot, it's $1,000 listing, all spelled out. So THOUSAND dollar listing, all spelled out. So you can find that on YouTube if you search for it. If you search for it on Google, $1,000 listing, all spelled out, you're going to find all the articles on us. You'll also find our website, $1,000listing.com, which is going to give you up-to-date news on everything that's going on. Also on Instagram, we're $1,000listingNYC. We also have other pages as well. So that's basically the gist of it. We're also on TikTok, TDL.TV. So yeah.
Cool. Looking forward. Noah, then Pete, a good book people might want to read. And a TV show or a movie worth watching?
Pete.
A good book people might want to read. I don't know who the person is that's receiving this, but I'm reading One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, which is pretty great.
Okay.
And a TV show, I just rewatched Breaking Bad. Because I love it so much.
Awesome.
And Better Call Saul. I'm rewatching Breaking Bad, but I'm so all in on that universe of both of those shows. So that's my answer.
Love those answers. Noah?
Yeah, my answer is Cash Flow by Robert Kiyosaki. Great book. Has nothing to do with any of this stuff, but
it's an excellent book.
Oh yeah. It's written in prose. It's written in as if you're talking to someone on the street, but it's brilliant. It gets your head straight about like how to position your life so that you become wealthy someday. Soon, you know, so that you get into that mentality really, really quick and start building wealth, while you sleep. That's a big one, getting that passive income going. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing is what a show. Okay. So I am, I have a lot of like strong opinions about comedy these days. I think it could be a lot better personally. I think and so you're asking me about like what shows. Why don't I say the President Show with Pete? He was all over the internet recently. Okay, this is a big deal. He was all over the internet as Mike Pence. In fact, I have it actually set up on my phone here to show you.
Please.
So basically, he was Mike Pence playing with Donald Trump. And he was just blew up on Facebook, on Instagram, all over the internet. And here is the clip. You ready for this?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, here we go.
We have to get going.
I don't want to go.
I know, but it's time to go.
I don't want to go.
It's time to go.
I don't want to go.
It's time to go.
I don't
want to
go.
I
don't want to go. I don't want to go.
No, you're having fun. It's time to go.
So for those of you who can't see this, he's in a room full of children and he's sitting on like a bouncy ball and I'm dragging him out of the room.
That is fucking hilarious. Noah, can you send me that? Here, Noah, you want to fire it down?
Noah, turn it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. For anybody watching, that was hilarious. I'll link it in the show notes. Noah, link me that clip. Please email or text me that clip.
You got it.
And I will watch a President Show because that looked hilarious. The only other thing that I've seen like it that I'm sure you guys have seen online is the President and Abe Lincoln. Have you guys seen that? Those little skits?
No.
I'll be sure to send those across. And I just looked at the time. I'm so sorry, guys. We went 20 minutes over time. I hope I didn't dig into your guys' calls. Yeah, I had a great time. I had an hour cut out, but I didn't even look at the clock. I was having a lot of fun with you guys. So thank you guys for your time. Rooting
thank
hard
you.
For a $1,000 listing. And let's all keep in touch. I'd love to – it'd be cool to do this again when the show gets picked up.
You bet.
To kind of have like a full circle moment. So thank you guys. Have an incredible Thanksgiving weekend. I hope you guys enjoy your day. And thanks for your time.
Great.
Take care.
Bye.
Have a good one.